Pastor Dan and Miss Rhonda are going to be heading back north today. So if you would, pray for them as they for traveling safety. And they're looking forward to being back here this week. And so keep them in mind if you would. I want to speak to you for a few moments on this thought, refreshers. Inspired by God, the Apostle Paul authored 13 books in the New Testament. If he was indeed the author of Hebrews, that is 14. And 2 Timothy is the last words that the Apostle Paul ever wrote. As he is closing up shop on all of the words and all of the things that God inspired him to write that would later be passed on to you and I all the way down throughout history since he wrote it. This is the last thing that Paul is penning, the last things that Paul writes in 2 Timothy. And so if you would look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, Paul is instructing Timothy, his son in the faith, and he says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me." Discouraging time for Paul. "Of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." Then he shifts gears in verse 16. And he says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. For he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus." You know very well how many times he ministered to me, Paul says. And so I want to talk to you for a few moments. I've been praying this week, kind of a threefold prayer. Number one, that through this message, God would receive glory. Number two, that he would use me to refresh you. As Pastor Mark already mentioned, there's many people here this morning that have come in with heavy hearts, heavy burdens, many known, many unknown. So if the Lord would allow me, I want to refresh you and encourage you this morning. And then if God would also use me to motivate you and to encourage you to also be refreshers yourselves. And so let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day. One of Pastor Mark's favorite scriptures that he drills lovingly, grooves into the hearts of our students here at our Christian school, is, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And today, Lord, may we have that perspective. May you refresh us through the power of your word. May you be glorified today. God, I pray that you would use me and bless me, that I may be a blessing, and that you would refresh your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. On the back of your bulletin, there are some notes. And the word refreshed in the Greek is anapsuho. It's Greek. It sounds a little bit Indian, but it's actually Greek. Anapsuho, it means to voluntarily, gently breathe upon, repeatedly and with intensity. It's the idea of a mom. Many of you mothers have blessed your children like this. My mom oftentimes blessed me. We bless Gibbs a lot. He does a lot of falling and tripping and skinning his arms and his knees. And so you rush over to your child and you gently pick them up and you try to cool that hurt down. And that is some of the idea here. The Hebrew word for refreshed is nefash, which simply means to be breathed upon. And Paul is giving us a picture here of someone that is refreshing another by blowing on them, literally and figuratively. My aunt walked up to the balcony the other day for school. We were preparing to have our staff meeting in this classroom over here, and I was sitting in there just preparing some thoughts for the day, And I heard her walk up the steps, and she saw Marty Snyder, who's sitting here this morning. And this is what my aunt said. She said, "Marty, you are like a breath of sunshine every time I see you." I thought that was great. So I wrote that down. But I'm always looking for message notes, okay? So just be careful what you do or what you say. But I thought that was fantastic. You're like a breath of sunshine. What is she saying? That in Marty's presence, she just gently blows on her and refreshes her. We've all had the opposite experience. My son is 4. He often comes down in the morning, and he's 4, but Carrie was laughing this morning. She said, "Oh, how long are we going to let our teenager sleep? He's all of a sudden, he must be growing, and he's starting to sleep in later." And so he'll come down, you know, a little bit after 8, and he will come over. I say, "Good morning, buddy. Come on over here." And he'll just kind of flop in my lap. And I'll say, "How you doing, buddy?" "Oh, Dad." And I often like to tease with him, and I would say, "Good night, Gibbs. Son, your breath smells like a dead raccoon." We live on a farm. It fits. He'll go, "Oh, Dad." And we'll laugh and have a good time. I do not mind that one bit. Reagan, Ryland, Gibbs, they're all little kids. They are not conscious of their breath. I don't mind it one bit. I'm blessed by it. It's a reminder of the gift God gave me. And so you say, "Well, that's kind of weird that you don't mind your kids." What? Well, get over it. So anyways, I don't mind that. I don't want them to stay that way, but I don't mind it. Gibbs is 4. Now, if Gibbs, in about 12 years, about 10:30 in the morning, comes stomping up from the basement, "What happened to you last night?" "Oh, I was on the last level of Zelda." Zelda, that's so 80s, isn't it? World of Warfare, teens, there you go. And so, "Oh, I had a late night." And if my son, 16, comes over and slops over in my lap, and he says, "How you doing, Dad?" He is going to have a quick and rude awakening. I'm not going to enjoy that. When Gibbs is 16 and he comes and just blows on me with foul breath. I don't really am too bothered by young Christians who just beginning to walk with the Lord and understanding about walking in the Spirit and having an excellent spirit like Daniel and having they're learning those things and they haven't quite gotten them. They've lived in their flesh for many years and so they're still struggling with their attitude and their spirit, and they can be abrasive or they can just kind of pop off at the mouth and they don't really have a guard on their tongue, no filter, and sometimes it's... But that's okay. They're young in the Lord. What is disappointing is when you are around somebody that says they've been saved for 20 or 30 years, and they come and they sit before you, and you're just like, "Goodness." And you kind of get a bad taste in your mouth, and we've all had that experience. I want to give you this statement. Adrian Rogers says, "You are never more like Jesus than when you encourage someone, and you're never more like the devil than when you discourage someone." We have that clicker. Here it is. So this morning, I want to hopefully refresh you to be encouragers. If you look at the screen, Paige Patterson said this. He said, "Onesiphorus, as far as we know, never preached a sermon, wrote an epistle, or sang an anthem. Yet his quiet efforts to assist the great apostle Paul and refresh him, ministering to him in every way possible, merited his favorable mention on the pages of Scripture read by man now for nearly 2,000 years. Onesiphorus was a special man in Paul's life. Junior Hill, in his book, The Refreshers, writes this: "It is apparent that there are thousands of lonely and discouraged people who desperately need to be refreshed. He then goes on to say, and it is equally apparent that not every Christian is interested in doing that. And my aim this morning is to do that, to refresh you and to encourage you to be refreshers. And so you see there on your bulletin, I have an outline. I spent a lot of time preparing and praying and thinking about this message. But as I began to finish this message, I just felt that I'm not going to follow that outline. And instead, I'm going to share a little story with you. For some, that thrills, for others, it kills. Story. Well, I was coming today expecting to hear a great deep theological dissertation. Maybe in the vein of Apostle Paul. Well, I'm sorry, you're not going to get that today. I'm going to aim to be a little bit more like Jesus and just tell you a story. So, I want to tell you a story that is one of the greatest stories in my life. And my family has traveled a lot over the years and had a lot of experiences in my young life, but this is right up at the top. And so I thought instead of going through an outline today, I would just take a seat, and I wanted to tell you about something, but to prime your mind for this, I want you to think about for a moment those you know personally who are your heroes. I have some heroes in my life. If I could name four men in my life, it would be my dad, Dan Wisner, my grandfather, Levi Wisner, my other grandfather, my mom's dad. These are all preachers, J.W. Vess. And the fourth man, sitting up in the balcony looking at me right now, that would be Steve Thompson. Those would be right at the top of my list. Those are my heroes. They have impacted me and invested in me more than just about anybody else in my life, and I love them. But I also have some heroes that I don't know personally. At the top of the list would be Adrian Rogers, and he's a preacher. Ever since I was a young boy, I've fallen in love with preachers. But for some of you, if it was sports, some of you teens would just love to meet LeBron James. That would be awesome. Others, maybe Muhammad Ali. If you are into music, maybe Garth Brooks or Help Us Girls, Taylor Swift. That may be somebody that, boy, you really have looked up to, maybe even almost idolized, and just like, wow, if I could meet anybody, I would want to meet. If you're into movies, an actor, maybe Tom Cruise or Julia Roberts. You say, wow, it would just be so fantastic to meet them. Maybe if you are into politics and leadership, you say, I would just love to meet John Maxwell. A couple weeks ago, I was able to sit just a few rows from him and listen to John. Incredible, and look up to him, and really he's fantastic on leadership. Or politics, you say, George Bush or Barack Obama. If I could just meet anybody, I'd want to meet the President of the United States. And if there was anybody at the top of my list that I would want to meet, there were two preachers. One was Adrian Rogers, who I fell in love with as a young teen listening to him. I've listened to him preach hundreds of hours. Just, he's so, besides my dad and my grandfather, this has made more of an impact on my life than just about any other preacher. But when I got married in 2005, he also soon then passed away. I heard him preach one time in person, but I never got to meet him or know him. The other man that would be at the top of my list would be a man named Junior Hill. And Junior Hill is one of the most well-known evangelists and preachers in the South. Because my family traveled and sang, had the privilege to sing for some well-known people. Smokin' Joe Frazier, heavyweight boxing champion of the world. Me and my family got to sing for him one time, and that was really neat. Walked up to him, and he signed his a picture of himself and told me and Danny and Lindsay, Marcy wasn't there yet, but told us, hey, you guys really sing good. That was great. Like, wow. I mean, I love Rocky, and he's in the first Rocky. He's up there with Rocky in the boxing ring, and I'm looking at that sometimes. I watch Rocky every once in a while, and I'm thinking, that guy right there, Smoking Joe Frazier, told me I sing good. It was fantastic. I thought, that was really neat. Jim Brown, running back for the Cleveland Browns, got to sing for him. That was really neat. Went in and met Leslie Nielsen, the actor, goofy actor guy. Met him, met a lot of celebrities, I guess you would say, over the years. And that was neat. But they came and went. They're not really that special to me. But the top of my list would be Adrian Rodgers and then Junior Hill. And Junior Hill was once the vice president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He's, a preacher and an evangelist from Alabama. And the Southern Baptist Convention is the largest evangelical denomination in the world. There's 16 million members of that. And so it's very large. And he was the vice president of that at one time. And so he's well known. And I just always thought if I could meet Junior Hill, that'd be one of the greatest wishes of my life. And so I bought all of his, he's got a website. And so in the early 2000s, I began to collect his CDs, his preaching CDs. I bought all of his preaching CDs, and he's written some books. And so I bought all of his books, and every one of them signed. Every one of them has a little personal note in them. They're so special. And so I always thought, man, I just love this guy. So humble. He loves preachers. And so I thought if I could ever meet Junior Hill, that would be so wonderful. But his books and his CDs, boy, they would refresh me and lifted me up. That's one of the greatest gifts he has, is the gift of encouragement. And so I was just so blessed by him. I remember when Karen and I were dating in 2005, I was preaching in Bradford. Her and her family went down to Myrtle Beach. And so I had to preach at Bradford. But then I remember right after service, heading down towards Myrtle Beach, and I drove straight through 10 hours. And for 10 hours straight, without missing a beat, I listened to all of these, as many of these as I could listen. 10 hours straight, I listened to Junior Hill. It's the most fantastic trip I've ever taken. And then Carrie was a bonus. And so it was great. But I listened to Junior Hill. I didn't get tired of him. I just soaked it in. And after that 10-hour trip, I was just refreshed. I was fired up. And I was so excited. But in 2005, when Karen and I got married, we went over to minister at Bradford, and we were over there for 3 years. And about a year or so in, the work was a small work. It was a struggling work. And of course, I'm very ignorant and naive of being a pastor and just trying to get our feet wet in ministry, trying to be a blessing, trying to learn how to work with people. And we would have good days and, bad days, and just trying to plug along. And my mother-in-law has always encouraged me, bloom where you're planted, we're just trying to do as best we could. But I was kind of going through a discouraging time there, and I'll never forget the day I was standing in the kitchen in the parsonage there where we lived, and my cell phone rang, and I picked up the phone, and the voice on the other end of the phone said, yes. I said, hello, this is John. I said, yes, is Reverend John Boy Wissner available? Carrie's looking at me like, now folks, listen, on the face of the earth, out of 7 billion people, if I could have picked one person that I wanted to be with or spend time with or meet or talk to, it was Junior Hill. And this man said, hello? Yes, this is John. He said, well, John Boy, he said, this is Junior Hill. Junior Hill. He refers to everybody as brother down the south. I said, Brother Hill, how in the world did you get my phone number? He said, well, John, your mother wrote me one of the most delightful emails. She told me some of your story and what your family's gone through and where you're at and what you're attempting to do. And he said, John, I'm just calling today to first of all tell you that I love you. And he said, I want to just encourage you to be faithful and stick by the stuff and just do what God has called you to do and just be who God has called you to be. I'm standing there in an absolute shocked stupor. And he said, your mother also told me about your wife. And he said, could I speak to Carrie for a few moments? So I gave Carrie the phone, and he talked to Carrie for a few moments and encouraged her. And we talked for, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 minutes. Hung up the phone. You know, the Bible says that Onesiphorus, it says he sought me out. I wasn't seeking out Junior Hill. He sought me out. And he called me and refreshed me and lifted me to another plane. And boy, I got up the next Sunday and they had a new preacher. And they said, I thought John was speaking today. And I said, no, Billy Graham is here today. He elevated me to a new level. I had a new passion. I had a new fire. Simply because an aged preacher took some time to refresh a young preacher boy. And he changed my life with a phone call. It was fantastic. So I bought this Bible right here. In 2005, I bought it for preaching. And almost all of my messages since 2005 have been from this Bible. So it's real special to me. And I had all of my family members, my parents, my grandparents, my in-laws, Carrie, Kate, different, all of my family members, my siblings, write in this, Steve and Janet Thompson, write me a letter. There's a lot of empty pages in the back. So I had them ask them if they would write me letters of encouragement. So after I talked to Junior Hill and I was preaching this Bible, I thought, oh boy, I'd just love to have a letter in my Bible from Junior Hill. So I got this idea and I sent Junior Hill an email. And I said, I just want to make a request to you. I'm going to send you my Bible. And I'm going to put some money in there for you to return it to me. If you'd be so willing, I said, I would just love, just be so grateful if you would write me a note of encouragement in my Bible. So I sent him my Bible. And a few weeks later, I got this, my Bible back. There's Junior Hill. In that letter that is on the screen, this is what it says. Hartsville, Alabama. August 28, 2006. Dear John, what a great joy it is to write this brief note in your Bible. I consider it a real honor. Okay. This is Junior Hill writing. Woo! New level. It says, you are such an impressive young man. Wise in grasping the truths about ministry and pure and humble in your spirit. I sense in you that unique and commendable mark of submission to the Lord's choice of where you serve. As you open this word to preach, I hope you will always be reminded, and I think of this almost every time I preach. As you open this word to preach, I hope you will always be reminded of Vance Havner's words when he said, preach every sermon as though it was your first. You needed God then, and you will need him now. Preach every sermon as though it were your best, for our dear Lord deserves the best we can give. Preach every sermon as though it were your last, for one day it will be. John, I love you and Carrie very much. Junior Hill. Now, if you're a 25-year-old young man that moved away from your family, from all of your security, and you take your beautiful little wife and you go over there and you try to step out by faith and you be a blessing and you come to the realization that everybody you preach to does not think you are Adrian Rogers. Probably think I'm more in the vein of the Tasmanian devil. And so they, and you think about your greatest hero that, and him writing you a letter like that. And I read that letter, and time of refreshing. And he uplifted me and blessed me in a way that few people ever had. Well, I'd still never met Junior Hill, but I thought, God help me, I'm gonna, if it takes my life, I'm going to meet Junior Hill. I found out that a preacher friend of ours was able to schedule him for a Bible conference in Tennessee that actually me and my family had sung at for many years. And so I found out Junior Hill was going to be there, and made plans to go down there. Carrie and I were married. We went down there. The night that he was speaking, I think he was speaking at 6:30. We were probably there at 1:30 in the morning the night before, just... Oh, we were there early. And I remember, now Junior Hill is one of the most well-known preachers in all of the South. And so it was packed out. I mean, he's not just my hero. He's the hero of thousands of people, preachers. And so I thought, I got to get there early. I know they're going to be just waiting for him. So I get there, and the pastor, this is a rather large church, and the pastor is standing at the door waiting for Junior Hill. I'm standing behind him. There's a bunch of preachers. They're all roaming around, and the pastor is doing this. Awaiting the great Reverend Brother Evangelist Junior Hill. And I'm sitting there going, there's no chance I'm going to have to spend time with Junior Hill with as hungry as that guy is. So I thought, I got to get out of the building. So I go out a side door, and I'm standing over kind of behind a light post so the pastor doesn't see me. Out of sight, out of mind. And I'm standing over there, and I'm waiting Junior Hill. About 45 minutes before the service begins, I see this big old white chariot coming along. This somebody, I think, giving him a Lincoln. I see this big Lincoln. And I thought, oh boy, there he is. He gets out of the car. Now, when I had sent him my Bible, I also sent him, of course, a picture of my family. And so he got out of the car, and I, as casually as I could, that's what I thought I was doing. I think I was doing this, you know. I was so excited. I walked out. There's nobody around. I totally faked the pastor out. It was a great spiritual awakening in my life. It was great. I get up there. He turns, gets out of his car, turns around, and he says, well, hello, Brother John. Did you get your Bible back in the mail? Junior Hill knows my name! He knows my face! Well, I'm about to faint. Give me a second. Much blood to the neck. So I was like, good night. He called me by name. I said, oh, it's you. I was so excited. He was so kind to me. Gave me a hug and talked to me a little bit. He talked to Karen and I for a few moments, and we started walking into the church, and I said, Brother Ken, the pastor there, I'd like to introduce you to Junior Hill. Been my best friend for many years. He preached a wonderful service. He refreshed the crowd. He elevated us. And when he was done, he had a table set up for his books, his CDs. And I wasn't in line. Oh, I was right there behind Junior Hill, behind the desk with him. I'll stand right there. I invited myself, and I was just standing there. Just, you know, every once in a while, I just reach out and touch him, you know. All of a sudden, he looks over at me, and he said, "John Boy," he said, "I'm running low on books." He reached in his pocket, and he got out this big keychain to this Lincoln. He said, he said, "Would you go out into my trunk and bring me in some books?" Junior Hill needs my help. I mean, you laugh at Barney Fife and how he's moving. I mean, good night. I'm like, whoa. Well, Junior, how many? What are they? Individual boxes? He said, "Oh, I looked at when I came in." He said I had two boxes left. He said, just bring in both those boxes. I said, "I'll bring seven." I was so fired up. I'm going out there. I'm walking in but on the way out, as I'm running, Carl Lewis, he has nothing on me. I'm just flying out there. It was a beautiful thing to see. And I'm just running out to this Lincoln. As I'm running out there, I noticed a poor little lady had fallen down in the parking lot. She was wearing high heels, and it just happened to be my wife. And as I'm running by, and she's crying out, "Honey, help me," I stopped long enough to say, "Take it up with God. Junior needs my help." And I blazed on by. That part of the story is a small embellishment, but I was so fired up that I got to carry in Junior Hill's book. I left that conference, and I got back to Bradford. And I was refreshed and elevated. And then a year or two later, I'd written Bob Burney. He hosts a pastor's conference every year, and he has some of the most nationally known speakers come, preachers. He's had John MacArthur there. He's had Tony Evans, just many, many, many great preachers there who so many preachers look up to. And I'm in contact with Bob. I said, "I just love it. If you'd get Junior Hill to come in sometime, it'd be great." Lo and behold, a year or two after I talked to him, Junior Hill, Bob loves him too, Junior Hill was coming to Columbus, Ohio to preach at the pastor's breakfast. Boy, you can imagine who was right at the front table just waiting for him. In fact, when he got there, one of the preachers was waiting there, and I thought, this is my one chance to probably in my life, Junior Hill's getting older, this is probably one chance that I might have to spend maybe a little bit of time with Junior Hill. And so I emailed Junior a few weeks before he came. We had emailed back and forth quite a bit. He was so kind to invest his time, and he would send me cards every once in a while, and it was really, really something. So I emailed him. I said, "Brother Junior, I know you're going to be in Columbus," and I said, "I don't want to impose. I said, I know there's so many people that love you and want to be with you, but I said, if there was any possibility that you could preach at my father's church, I just wanted to ask." He wrote back so kindly, and he said, "Well, John," he said, "I'm going to be there for two nights, and both nights," he said, "I've already been scheduled with another church." I said, "All right, that's fine." So I hung up the phone, and, you know, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "By diligence, the snail, by perseverance, the snail reached the ark." So I thought, I just need to snail some more. So my mind is racing, and I'm talking to Mom and Dad, and I just love to spend a little bit more time with them. And so I emailed him back, and I said, "Brother Junior, you're flying in." I said, "Who's taking you back to the airport?" I said, if I could bless you and be a help to you and be able to take you back to the airport after you're done preaching that morning, I just want you to know I'm available. I'm here. So he said, I'll ask Bob. And so I was able to drive him to the airport, and I had about after that pastor's breakfast, well, he was, before we left, he was sitting at the table or standing at a table again, and there were hundreds of preachers there, probably 600-700 preachers, and they're lined up, and so I wasn't in line. I was standing right there beside Junior Hill, best suit I had. Come forward, right over here. Brother Junior, please come forward. Oh, I know who you are. I've seen you on TV. You're a mega church pastor of 5,000 people. Let me introduce myself. My name is John. Junior calls me John Boy. I'm a pastor of 17 and a half reprobates in a town called Nobody Knows Where It Is, Ohio. And just wanted to thank you for coming today, Mega Church Pastor Loser. Just come on through. Just don't take too much time. Got to get him to the airport on time. Just come on through. Good morning. Good to see you. He doesn't care about you. Move on. I'm right here. Just come on. Yes. And I had about a 25-minute or 30-minute window, and I went out and got my car, and you can rest assured my Ford Taurus Lincoln was just immaculate. The wheels blackened, the carpet shampooed, the little in the window refreshener, and he sat in my car with me. Greatest hero in my life was sitting in my car talking to me, refreshing me, uplifting me, spending time with me, and Junior Hill changed my life. He never gave me money. He gave me himself and his time and his love and his encouragement, and it changed my life. In my email inbox, I've got about 24 emails over the years from Junior Hill. He not only has refreshed me, he's one of the funniest guys you've ever been around, and I love humor. And on April 21st, 2010, he wrote me this note. And most of the notes, and this just means so much to me, but most of the notes and emails that Junior has sent me, he was just seeking me out, trying to refresh me. He wrote, fantastic John Boy. Kiss your wife right on the lips. Take her to McDonald's. Root for the Crimson Tide. And remember that Junior Hill loves you and wants to be just like you when he grows up. He wrote another one. Dear John Boy, here are some instructions for you today. Number one, tell your sweet wife how pretty she is. Number two, kiss her at least 37 and a half times. Number three, love on that beautiful daughter, Reagan, and while you're doing it, thank the Lord that she doesn't look like you. Number four, buy them both big ice cream cones. Five, if you feel like cussing, don't do it. Don't even write it on a piece of paper and sign your name to it. Number six, rejoice that Alabama is now the national champions and not Ohio State. I don't know what year that was, but number seven, be mindful that Junior Hill loves you very much. Signed, Mr. Dork. Paul said, Onesiphorus often blew on me and refreshed me. And it changed Paul's life. I would say if, like Paul, as he was penning those words, he wrote 2 Timothy sitting in a jail cell in chains just a few days or weeks away from his life being extinguished, and he was, tradition says, beheaded for, the Bible says, beheaded for walking with God. And so, if there was anybody that Paul would have wanted, I believe, at his disposal and to encourage him, would be a man that in his final hours refreshed him, blessed him, blow on him. And I want to encourage you this morning, husband, I just want to make an appeal to you. Husbands, if there is one thing that you could do this morning to refresh your wife, I want to just, with the love of Jesus, encourage you to do that today. It could change your marriage today. Just humbling yourself and finding a way to refresh your wife. Wives, if there was something that you could do today that could refresh your husband, do it today. Don't wait. You don't have to pray about it. You do not have to pray about what God already instructs you to do. Just do it. Have you ever talked to somebody about, well, let me show you. They ask you a question. Let me show you what God's word says. Oh, yeah, I see that. Let me pray about that. You don't need to pray about it. Act on it. Teens, you guys a lot of times are in a tough point in your life. And home is difficult sometimes. And you're growing up and you're getting older and you're trying to figure out who you are and what you're going to do and where you're going to go. And sometimes you feel like mom and dad get in the way. But I want to encourage you this morning, if there's one thing that you could do this morning, this afternoon, you say, oh, there's so much tension in my home. If you could just say, Lord, what is one thing that I could do today to refresh my mom, refresh my dad? You could change the spirit in your home in an instant. What could you do to refresh? And to all of you, what can you do to refresh one another? I'm going to ask John Hubbard if he would to come. and sing a song that we love him to sing. It's called Thank You. But also, want to encourage you to do this, that if someone has refreshed you, don't let today pass without thanking them for the impact that they have made on your life. Show some gratitude and gratefulness. I am still, oh my goodness, I've got years of growing and learning to do, but in the last year, I can name at least three, I'm sure there are more, but at least three significant events as learning to be a pastor and learning to continue to learn to lead, that there were circumstances where, you know, the Bible says reprove, rebuke, exhort, and that's all part of leading and preaching and pastoring, is sometimes you do have to rebuke. Sometimes you do have to, you know, but there was options and some of these circumstances, either to rebuke or refresh. And God, just three circumstances in my life that come to my mind as I've been thinking about this message, that God, by his grace and all glory to him, gave me enough sense, spiritual sensitivity, to when I talked to these people and when I met with them, to choose, God changed my heart and said, don't, they've got enough on them, don't discourage them, refresh them. Proverbs says, a soft tongue breaks the bone. And I just look back on some of the circumstances as I'm growing and learning, and I can just be honest with you this morning, the healing and the restoration and the blessing of relationships, more often than not, will be restored by refreshing instead of rebuking. Amen. We all need to be rebuked sometimes, but most of us need to be refreshed all the time. So I want John to sing this morning, "Thank You for Giving to the Lord." This is our altar call. If you feel you need to come and give something to the Lord, do that. If you need to thank somebody, you just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But I want to just say this morning how grateful I am as a part of this church. I know Pastor Mark would echo this, and my dad, our leaders, we love you. We are refreshed by being able to be able to serve God with you, and we love you. And so if you would, just sit there and let this song minister to your heart, and then I'll close in prayer.
Sunday school, I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. One day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank You for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank You for giving to the Lord. I am so glad You gave. Then another man stood before You and said, "Remember the time missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank You for giving. Well, I am a life that was changed. Well, thank You for giving to the Lord. Well, I am so glad You gave. One by one they came, far as the eye could see, each life somehow touched by Your generosity. Little things that You had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. I know up in heaven You're not supposed to cry. I am almost sure there were tears in Your eyes as Jesus took Your hand and You stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you. Great is your reward. So thank you for giving to the Lord. Well, I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. So thank you for giving to the Lord. Well, I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. I am so you gave
me this morning. I have one announcement after prayer. Be a refresher to somebody today and lift them up. Father, we thank you for this morning, and Lord, we pray that you just take the power of your word. Thank you for its refreshing power in our lives, if only we will open it. And Lord, we thank you for the Inessa forces in our life that you send along to blow upon us and lift us up and refresh us. We pray that you would make us more like that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The inserts in your bulletin were meant for next week, and so the baby bottle campaign will start next week, so keep that in mind. We'll give you more info on that. We love you guys. You are refreshing, and you're dismissed. I'll be in the back and love to meet you if you're walking through.